Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. It's the second week of the month and of the year, and I'm with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Joe. Great to be here again for another year.
So let's just have to kind of touch upon what's making headlines right now. So much swirling around with what's happening with the Capitol attacks. There's talk about Trump impeachment. We had the certifying Electoral College. You're the Republican mayor of Terre Haute in Indiana. Can you just tell us a little bit about your reaction to what happened this past week and how did we get there?
Well, I think there's a lot of answers to that question, probably depending on what your viewpoint is. But just for me personally, it's been a circus for a while here now. And so you kind of felt like things were brewing. I would have never expected what happened at the Capitol last week. Sure, people go and do your protest and whatever. But, to march in the building, it'd just be like City Hall or the courthouse here or the state capitol, or that's just not a place where you go get out of line, I guess is the best way to put it. And you follow the procedures, you do what you need to do outside and protest all you want. But when you start invading a building or packing security, that's just wrong. No matter what level it is, what group you are, you can't do that. That's not how we solve problems in this country. Whether you believe any of the stuff you've heard about the election, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. That's the decisions that are being made. And so for people to what I would consider to be an overreaction to the issue, to think that somehow you need to march inside the Capitol building and take it over, if you will, is just wrong. I can't imagine anybody would think that's okay. That's in an elected position like this, because that's not how we do things. You just don't do it that way. Oh,
Do you have?
it's really unfortunate, because all this drama and all the conversations and all the media and all what Congress wants to do, all that distracts from us doing the business, that we need to get done and get this COVID thing addressed. And that's just a bunch of noise to me. And it's just unfortunate that that seems to be taking the front and center almost every day right now.
And I mean, we know the inauguration's coming up soon. Do you have a take on what should happen now in the White House? Should Trump resign? Should there be an impeachment?
I think he's almost gone. So I think he just needs to move on. That just process. I would hope he can do this in a way that's positive to finish this out here the last few days, and not have to get bogged down in all this impeachment stuff and all that. I just think that all that is a distraction from what we need to be focused on. And everybody's just, about that. I get all that. I'm not saying there aren't concerns about those things, but what is he got 8 days left or 9 days, whatever it is now, I've lost track. But I think the sooner that time comes and we move on, the better. And so I'm not sure what can be accomplished in that shorter period of time that would be healthy for the country. I know political parties are going to say, oh, get rid of the guy tomorrow any way we can. I wouldn't care if it was a Republican or Democrat in there. I would just say, how do we stabilize for the next few days and then move on to the next administration? That's me.
So, of course, the other thing that we've been getting updates from you about is the coronavirus, COVID-19 levels have been increasing. I mean, I'm assuming that this is part of this post-holiday wave, right?
I would assume. I've not heard anybody officially say they believe that that's what it is. It may be in some places. Here, our numbers went up by 67 in my last report from Sunday, Monday. So I don't feel horrible about that. It's still kind of staying in that range. And actually, our overall numbers are dropping a little bit. But is that wave coming from the Christmas holidays? And we just haven't seen it quite yet. Test results probably aren't back on a lot of people. And I think another week will probably tell us more about that. But, the vaccines rollout seems to be a little slow. I was hoping that would be more ramped up at this point. Some of our policemen and firemen are getting vaccinated. I know our local healthcare professionals and people over 80 started getting shots this week. So maybe in the coming weeks we'll start to see, the whole thing shift a little bit. But I today, I can't tell you that because I don't have any data to back it up.
Yeah. Indiana seems to have a plan for rolling out the vaccinations by age group. And if you're 80 and over, you can register online or calling 211. But we are getting, I mean, hundreds of emails in our newsroom. People just want to know, when can they get vaccinated? Do you know any more about the rest of the rollout?
No, I don't. I mean, the last I heard was last week when they announced how they were going to roll out the shots for those 80 and above. And I'm kind of waiting on the next official release of information because, you know, they were supposed to start giving those shots this week, and I'm sure they're doing that. I don't know what the numbers are, though, of how many people are showing up to do that. And so I think by the end of this week, we'll have a better feel for how that went. But then, you know, obviously the numbers are going to get bigger. The pool is going to be bigger here as you lower the age and begin to add other people to the mix. And I guess that will tell us whether the system is solid to be able to handle that. I've heard stories around saying, you know, you can't get in, the line's too long, whatever. And then other places saying that we got plenty of vaccinations left. So here locally, I think at the end of this week, we'll know how the first public round went of non-essential personnel. So I'm hopeful, but I don't know if there's enough vaccinations out there for the numbers that we need.
Is there a certain place people can go in there in Vigo County to get the vaccine?
So you can continue. Both hospitals are providing some service, obviously, but so was the at the annex, the Vigo County annex here. The health department is doing shots this week for those 80 and above. And so that's, you know, you need to get plugged in with that. That's the key right now, is getting those folks taken care of. And then I don't know if that gets wrapped up this week, because I apologize, I haven't had time to get an update today, but they're beginning the shots now. And so the next few days will tell us, did we have enough? Did the system work like they wanted it to before we take the next step to the next age group?
Yeah, to start, I believe there was a process with registering the mass of people trying to come in to register. There were some delays. It seems like that's back up and going again. It seems like there's enough vaccine, but is the bottleneck the effort to actually administer it? Is that where that is?
I don't think that's going to be. They just, you know, I mean, that just kind of happened last week here for the Vigo County Health Department to do this. And I think it was just everybody jumping in saying, okay, now the vaccines are beginning to spread outside of the healthcare workers, public safety, because they've all had access to it for a few weeks now. But even with them, getting people scheduled to get in there and get them has been a little bit of a challenge because people are working and worried about maybe if there is some kind of reaction, they want to kind of do it when they're off. I get all that. But now when you begin to open it up to the general public, that's where I'm a little bit more concerned. I think the hospitals and others know how to manage that better than anybody else, because we've not done that from that public perspective of mass immunizations. So once again, I think if we were having this conversation next week, I'd probably tell you, I think they did a pretty good job, or I think we got some things to work on, but I would bet the plan is good, but let's see how it's executed, see how people respond to it. Did they sign up and show up? You know, that kind of a thing. That'll be important. And how many people at the end of, you know, finally did we get registered versus how many, immunizations they had? They told me they had 500 last week going into this week. Well, that doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, we'll just see what happens by the end of this week. Did we handle that group of folks, you know, the way we needed to? And I'm hopeful and I'm confident that they'll do the best they can, but there's a lot of surprises in all these, you know?
Yeah. Well, then you get all these questions too about some saying, are teachers considered essential personnel? And then we get the questions, well, if I'm 68, but I'm caring for my 88-year-old client, can I get it too?
And all great questions, because I don't think, you know, in every state's doing something a little different. And then I'm sure locally, you're working with the state guidelines that come down, but you know, you're probably pressured by the people on the front line saying, hey, why can't I get a shot? I've got, and you know, and determining how how many health issues do you have to make you qualify maybe than somebody else? Because if you're 80 years old and you're in perfect health, that's one thing. But if you're 80 years old and you have four underlying health conditions, it would seem like you'd want to get all those people immunized, but should there be a pecking order? I don't know. That's the questions we get. I don't have the answers to that because, you know, I don't have access to that data. So I don't know how you make those decisions without knowing all those facts. You try to just do the best you can and hope you're doing it right. I mean, I feel good about what they've rolled out, but my guess is we don't have enough vaccinations out there. That's what I'm worried about.
What's the plan there for going back to school? Are students back?
We're back. So elementary's back full time. Middle school and high school are on the AB schedule, but hopefully that will ramp up and get back to normal soon. So everybody came back after the holidays, and I saw a report yesterday. I think they had 9 positives in the school system between teachers and students. So, you know, there's still going to be some activity there, but it seems like it's going pretty well from the sources that I have. My grandson's glad to be back in school. He's a first grader, and he was ready to go back. You know, he's excited about it, and I feel he's in a safe environment.
Now, and then there's been a lot of controversy. Some say going back to school is better than not, too.
I believe that because I believe there's social issues with all of this. There's obviously the educational issues. I think kids need to be in the classroom. That's just me personally. So I like it. I'm glad that we are, and we just have to monitor and help and make sure we do the right things to manage the COVID as we move forward. And I think they're doing that. I feel pretty good about that.
You know, Bloomington's been making some news on evicting encampments from a downtown public park. Mayor says he's concerned in Bloomington about the frigid temperatures, shelter officials saying they're full, but displacing those experiencing homelessness will only hurt them further, especially during a pandemic. Has this been an issue in Terre Haute?
Not a big problem. You know, we've got people, obviously homeless people that are sleeping downtown and other areas. A lot of them around here are more camping out in the woods kind of a thing, so you don't necessarily see them all the time. We've just not had a big encampment or anything downtown, and I don't want to do that. I don't think that's the right place for them. We just got to find ways to get them plugged into our homeless shelters. Same thing. I read that story about that down there. And, you know, I really feel for those folks. A lot of homeless people don't want to be in a shelter, or they've been kicked out. And so you go round loop to loop, you know, we just have to find different methods to deal with different parts of that population, because they're not all the same. You know, some have addictions issues, some have mental health issues, some have both. Some just have defiance and social anxiety issues. I get all that, and there's no one answer. So that's why you have to have multiple solutions for that problem. And we're getting ready real soon here to open up a day drop-in center. So that property has been closed on by the local not-for-profit Reach Services. We have provided some funding through some of the COVID relief money. We're going to give them $300,000 to help rehabilitate that facility as soon as we can get it going with them. And that'll be a place for the homeless can go during the day. It's not a place to sleep at night, but it's a place to try to capture and have a focal point and provide services to them and then interact with the homeless shelters, other social services, mental health and addiction services. It's going to be a real tool for us, not a solution to that homeless overnight problem, but it may be over time will help us be able to start attacking that issue.
Where's that located?
It's just south of Poplar on 14th Street, sorry. No, I'll take that back, 16th Street. I'm thinking about another project we got going on 14th Street, some duplexes we're going to put in. So it's just east of downtown a little bit in a former nursing home.
Hmm.
And the Reed Services provides a lot of services down, a lot of it related to homeless, and this will be a major expansion. So I'm excited about this opportunity to be able to send the people there so they don't necessarily have to hang out here. If you need, you know, we can plug you in with all kinds of services. Just go there and talk to the folks, get warm, take a shower. You know, we can do a lot of things there to help them out.
Couple more things I'd like to get to quickly. The Indiana legislature underway 2021 session. many things on the table. I know last week, Columbus Mayor Linup was talking about TIF districts and the powers that the emergency powers the governor has. Are there just a couple top things that you're looking at?
I'm watching the TIF legislation as I do every single session. It seems like every year there's attempts to tighten that up more and take some funding out of that for other, you know, taxing entities in the county. You know, the TIFs were created as a financial incentive to get development. That's the whole purpose of them, is to help you provide funding to be able to build out areas in your community. I believe we've done that with our TIF dollars. We've not misused any of those monies. You know, you hear stories around the state, well, they're using it for this and they're using it for that. And somebody in the legislature catch wind of it. They're like, we need to fix that. And so then we all get penalized because of some decisions made across the state. I just don't want them to tighten it up anymore. I think it's a great tool. It's one of we can do tax abatements, or if you're in a TIF district, we can help with infrastructure and other needs there. I need those tools. I don't have many other tools in the toolbox. So don't make it more difficult or start pulling money out because you're running short in revenue somewhere else. Should have thought about that when the tax caps came. We should have thought about that when you look at local option income taxes and everything else that we have. It's just one piece of the puzzle. And when you change one piece, it affects the rest of the puzzle. And so we've got to be conscious of that. I'm also watching, you know, that the executive stuff with the governor. I think he's done a good job, and I'll continue to say that. But there's some legislators that want to be at the table. Well, maybe you should run for governor. I mean, there has to be some balance there. But the legislature's not in session all year, so they can't possibly be on a daily conversation and pull the session back in or have a session every time you want to make a decision, a significant decision. So I guess I'll be interested to watch how that plays out.
Going back just really quickly to the TIF, is there anything in place right now that the legislature has like in front of you, or is this something they're just working on now?
Well, I've seen one piece of a bill that says they want to carve out money for schools. So obviously they're looking for money to pay teachers more and I have no problem with putting more money in education. That's not the issue at all. But if you take it out of there, then I'm going to have to go find another revenue source to replace that. And so then the schools take it. Let's just say if that's the case, the school's taken care of. But then I have to go either try to get the county council to raise a tax or go back to the legislature and say, well, now how do I make up this revenue to do the infrastructure out there? I'll have to use edit funds. Then that means other parts of the city won't get the use of the edit funds because I'll have to put it in the TIF district. I mean, it's a vicious circle. And so if you take it, anything they do, I just hope it doesn't hurt us. I don't want any more taxes. I don't need any more taxes. But if you take something away, I got to replace it. Well, don't put that on us. Don't make me go, you know, try to get some tax raise somewhere. That's not right. And school corporations, you know, they can go do a referendum now for operating or capital. I can't do that. We can't do a referendum. You know, so municipalities are kind of have the least amount of options available. So they take something away, you know, we're just kind of out of luck.
Before we go, I wanted to get a quick update on the police station. I believe renovations, did they start this week?
Started this week. We were supposed to start last week, and we ran into a couple little legal issues with the closing. And so they delayed the closing, and which that means in order to go in there and do work on the building, we wanted to own it. You know, that was kind of the what was lined up. Yes, so we had to go back and put some legal documents in place to move ahead with the project and then delay the closing a little bit so they get a couple of little, it's just all legal stuff that popped up at the last minute and people were off on the holidays. It didn't happen. And so now though, we've got everything worked out and the closing will be coming up here in the next few weeks, but we can go ahead and get started on the building itself.
What's the time
to get those things in place?
What's the time frame on that?
The project is about a 7 to 8 month total project from beginning to end. And so I'm hoping that we're in there in August. That's still my goal.
And how much is budgeted for that whole project?
Well, everything, it's about $11 million total for everything. And that's furniture. I mean, it's just everything across the board. So we got plenty of money. We're good. We're covered on that. We just had to do some legal steps to ensure that what we were doing before we invested a dime in it, that everything was going to play out on the closing, and it will.
And then what happens to that old building? Because I know that's in bad shape.
We're going to tear that down. So as soon as we move out, I would hope this fall then, when we're out of there, we'll get that building tore down and we're going to redevelop that site. We'll probably talk to some community partners or others that outside of Terre Haute that may want to come in and acquire that property. There's about 2.5 acres there right on Wabash Avenue on Old National Road. And I think it'll be a great site for future development. Get it back on the tax roll.
That was all I had. Did you have any other announcements or things you'd like to say?
No, I'm going to be doing a city update on the 28th of January with the chamber. Normally it's an in-person event, kind of kicks off the year, but talking about last year and what we've got coming up for this year. So it'll be my first public event that we'll be doing virtually. So we'll get that information out. The chamber's already started promoting that, but we'll get it out through the media here very shortly. But on the 28th at 9 o'clock, we'll do a live stream of that. And so I'm looking forward to that, beginning to plan for that. Just doing a lot of end of the year closure on things and 2021 planning. And it's just a crazy time. You would think January would be slow, but it never is. It's a very busy time for us and it's fun. It's exciting. And just really looking forward to a prosperous 2021.
All right. Well, thank you very much and hope to see you next month.
Okay, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.